Already dripping. We're going to continue in the book of Acts today. We're actually stopped down at Acts 2, verse 47. You know, there's some themes going on here in Acts. As Pastor started a few weeks ago, you know, there's this emphasis on waiting, on prayer, and on the impartation of the Holy Spirit, and what happens after that? What happens when the people of God seek the Lord through prayer and acknowledging that we're here, God is way up here. And so, you know, as I kind of started to read through this passage and reading it over and over again, I got the sense of the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of lives of people, but not just individually, corporately. We need community. We need community to make it through in this life. I need community to be able to live another day dealing with my three kids and all these things that go on and the heavy loads of life, situations that come in and tackle us down. You know, I just want to briefly just go back to chapter 1 because chapter 1, you know, in verse 8, Jesus says to go up into that room and to wait, the 120 going up and to wait into the upper room and to pray and to seek after the Lord. And, you know, that's the beginning where we can start to acknowledge things in our life. You know, it's the calm area of life. You just kind of sit back and pray and get a sense of just knowing that God is in control. And, you know, he's looking for us to get to that place. You know, we sing a song, Surrender All, but do we really surrender all? And that's the challenge for us as we move into the book of Acts. Surrender to the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are churches, there are people that, you know, believe in the Trinity, but they refer to it as the Father, Son, and Holy Bible. And so we need to kind of bring that, the emphasis of the person and work of the Holy Spirit back into balance with what we believe, how we live that out. And so we need community. We need to love the body, to live out the mission that God has declared for us. And as we see moving into chapter 2 of Acts, we see that the empowering of the Holy Spirit come down, you know, and prayer time that they had, there was preaching of the word. There was Peter coming up and declaring the gospel. 3,000 souls were added into the kingdom. And I want to read the passage today, get that. Acts 2, verse 42-47. And then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any need. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, received their food with glad and generous, praising and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day by those who were being saved. So what we have here, we have a few different themes going on. We have a devotion, a teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, prayer. These are the element that we're coming together to form the church at this time. It was a birthing stage. Some may say that it started around this time where, you know, there was an actual body coming together and for Christian church. They weren't really Christians until Antioch, but this was a time where they were establishing themselves, even from house to house, and they're moving around during this time where they really didn't have one spot to worship at. So it was more of a mobile church. But as we see here, you see devotion. They devote themselves to each other. There we see again, we see prayer being emphasized. We see the breaking of the Lord's Supper, baptism being instituted. And so what we see is that Luke is painting that picture of what community is when we're together. So all filled with the Spirit was new wine, they called it. People on the outside were looking in and saying to other people, you know, they are acting this way, they're acting different. But it was inauguration of what was started to become a unique experience to bring the body of Christ together, to form the body of Christ. We have a quote here by J.D. Greer. And he says, fellowship means we have something in common. We should have the same kind of fellowship to God that he and the other apostles had, a relationship of ship. So, again, back at this whole passage, for me, in and studying this, I see that the church is not a building. It's a place where people gather. But even beyond that, we see that the gospel is central. And living that out through love and what the kids are doing, and heard, is just a small expression of what comes after, beyond knowing the gospel for yourself, but living it out. It's what community should be like, what we should be able to see in a new church. And the idea of community, though, is a supernatural concept, because God is a relational God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you see that God is a community in itself, in himself. And he wants that for us as well. Some people will say, I just worship God by myself and not go to church, and I can handle it, I can go on and watch my preacher on TV or podcast. But you're isolating yourself. And we do this now with media, with social media, with iPhones and all these things. We try to get ourselves and implode in our own and activities where God is building his church for unity. And so the idea is kind of what is stirring in me, because the people of God in the Old Testament were about community. And they knew what community stood for. There's something interesting here. The Jewish community would meet outside of Solomon's colonnade along the east side of the outer court, where they would prepare the common meal. So they knew food would be and, you know, conversations. So they had that idea of what community was about. So the implications of past, I want to bring into the benefits. The benefits of community. A community action. Verse 45 says, and they were selling the possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And they are to other believers, to non-believers, with the love of God. What we want to see is we want community in action. This is the first thing that we find in 45. And the generosity that comes out of these group of people. And we see in 20, verse 28, Jesus is displaying his servanthood, his love and compassion that he had, and the identity that being painted here in this passage here. Now, I'm going to give you a Greek word. It's koinonia, which is the Greek word for fellowship. And this word pretty much is what they were doing. They were partnership and together in the gospel. And this word is used more often in the book of Acts to refer to what they were doing. And also, it's a noun word that comes from generous or to share. So that's what they were doing. They were giving up their homes. They were selling stuff. And this is a descriptive verse. So here again, we find a lot of descriptive verses in Acts. And sometimes when I think of verses, I think, okay, I have this house. But it's a personal conviction that if you are feeling led to give something to someone you know that needs something, it's something where the Holy Spirit has to you. Again, this is different culture, so they were under some persecution and there were things going on. But how we can interpret it today is that something that you need for yourself. If your God places you in a particular situation, or you know someone that you know is in lack of something, and I a minister, Francis Chan, he left his church and he moved his family up to San Francisco to start a church planting network, and you know he felt like he just needed to give that. Why give up a multi thousands of people in your church and sell your house or do whatever things away, and then just move into the inner city and with people that have nothing. You know, that is a place where you need to feel like that's what you need to do. I don't think everybody's called to do that, but that's a place. And in verse 45, we see that as a descriptive verse itself. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5 through 7, that God rejoices in those given out to others through a cheerful heart and through having that joy that's in you. We can sum up this. Fellowship about giving that brings eternal joy. And it's something that for me, I feel like when I'm at that place of knowing that someone is in need, I receive the joy that comes from that. And that's the fruit of community. The church is kept together as a generous body, and we see that in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. I'm just going to read that. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in their relief of the saints, and this, not as we expected, but as they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. So, again, number one is we are a community of action. Number two, a community of sharing life with each other. Verse 46 goes through, you know, they attended the temple, they broke bread, they did it with a generous hearts that they had. And another area of this passage where I see that the sharing life aspect is where some people don't feel like opening their house to people that have challenges in life. And this is where the messiness of life comes into play, because, you know, you could go to church and then you could do your mini group and then you can go to, and then close your doors at home, and that's it. But in these pages, and I see that what happened in here is that they didn't care if they got dirty. They didn't care if they got involved with conversations that they were hearing from other people. Jesus was involved with the community. He was around the people, that the sinners, the people that needed his ear. So, you know, I see that opening our hearts, open homes to people that need that. That is where we can have listening ears to hear what's going on, and people can open up their lives instead of clamming up, you know. I was blessed to go to Dr. R. Sproul's conference in March, Ligonier Conference, and one of these speakers, her name is Zario Butterf, and she wrote a book about gospel hospitality, and I'm just going to reread a portion of her story because she illustrates this quite well. About first, she was praying for a neighbor, and this is where the story gets into play because it's a perfect illustration of this this point here about sharing life. In her book, The Gospel Comes with a Housekeeper, she talks about how her and her husband opened their house up to their neighbor, Hank. Hank lived alone and had anxiety, depression, PTSD, and ADHD. Eventually, he would share holidays, family gatherings with them, and he would occur and see their kids and spend time. He had a dog, so they were kind of getting close to each other. One day, neighbors texted in Rosario about seeing the police, the Drug Enforcement Agency, and yellow tape surrounding Hank's house. This man that they welcomed into their house had a meth lab in his own house. So Rosario mentions that their house later became an all-day crisis station for neighbors that were disturbed by the situation. This is the point I'd like you to see here. As neighbors filled into our front yard, which had come front row seats for unfolding drama of epic magnitude, I scrambled eggs, put on a big coffee, set Bibles, invited them in. Who else but Bible-believing Christians can make redemptive sense of strategy? Who can see whole promise of God and the real circumstances dire? Who else knows that the sin that will undo me is my own, my neighbor's, no matter how big my neighbor's may appear? When we're thinking about helping other people, but what happens is there's a mirror. We are opening ourselves up to help people. We also see that, there's sin in our lives that we need to think about, to repent of. And so this is a perfect illustration of that concept of what she did. And then, but what strikes me is that before this happened, Rosario was praying constantly for her neighbor before this whole situation opened up. And she was praying scriptures. She was getting into her daily devotions every morning. She would be praying for him. And what happens is after that prayer, things started to unfold. They started to learn about their neighbor. Now, this guy, Hank, he went into prison. Eventually, got a hold of his heart. But the spirit-filled life is devoted to prayer. And that's where this whole situation here with her, that she was focused on interceding before the situation happened. So sometimes for me, I see this as, God, before I go through a situation, I don't know what's happening, but being quick to pray without ceasing, that's the spirit of life. Number three. A community of the Word. The passage begins in verse 42. It's been their spiritual devotion. And then it wraps verse 47. The fruit the word was spoken, which is the 3,000 souls that were added to the kingdom. And this is another thing when you join together, if you're in a community group, if you're just one with someone, this is where mission can happen. Sin can be brought to the surface. The gospel is proclaimed not just for non-believers, but for believers on a continual basis to remind yourself of what God has done for us, that we can't do anything. We can't add up. We can't even do good deeds to merit ourselves to a salvation. So through community, we can hear the gospel from someone else, and we can also share it to someone else. Colossians 3:16-17. The word of Christ dwell richly, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spirit songs, with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. So sometimes it's difficult to really wrap your head around some of these verses when you're just by yourself. And so, and when we come together, there should be words of proclamation. And this is the big idea. I just want to point out through this past community with the Holy Spirit, bring gospel fruit. You know, you can have community and do activities and have coffee and donuts is great. But without the word, there is something that is going to be a spiritual hunger. And but the opposite, we can say we can join and have the word, and that's all we're going to do. But then there's going to be a lack of biblical hospitality. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added day by day who were being saved. So when the Holy Spirit shows up, there's fruit. There's gospel fruit. Again, being ignited with God's amazing forgiveness will lead us to share and show that truth to others. And in my heart, in my life, I know that until I understood what the gospel meant in a personal way, that forgiveness in my heart, in my life, I was still challenged to really know in a personal way what that meant. And when you know what forgiveness is, you can share it to others, and then there's going to be some type of fruitful evidence. You know, we might not see it here, but there is eternal joy in that. There's eternal fruit that comes out of what we experience and what we can share to others in that forgiveness. I just wanted to go back and to say that, you know, we have community. Community here at New Life is really a good thing that we have one of our visions here. We have community groups. We do activities. We have Isaiah 58 outreaches, Hartford City, of course. We have Peru Mission Trip is coming up. We have all these things, and I'm not up here just to promote to get involved necessarily, but to show that this is just something that our heart, as the people of New Life here, we have opportunities. We have things going on that there's no excuse not to be a part of, to be able to pray for people. If you can't go on a mission, to pray, to be, as Pastor was saying the other week about prayer being, you know, this is the front of every ministry is prayer. And so being available for, you know, that time of prayer, set aside time to pray for different things going on. There's questions here. And I know that for me, the Holy Spirit has, and still continue, he's continually working in my life to show me what do I need to do to be ready for whatever God has called me to do. But think about this question. Think about the practical implications here of where I am on my personal walk with God. this again is something that only you could answer for you. Person is a personal answer. Desiring the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Am I putting things in the proper perspective in my life? How can I be used by God? How can I search after God in community? And how can I get more involved in community? You might be involved in community, but is there a place where God's speaking to your heart to say yes to something that's specific? Do you want to start a ministry of something that's in your home, a Bible study, or writing cards to someone that needs someone that's ill in the hospital in them, different things like that? Again, we're here not saying that this is the only thing to do here, but there's different avenues that when the Holy Spirit is in your life, it's going to come to the surface. God will speak to you when He needs you to. Acts 2, verse 42, verse 47 is all about being together, community, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, the gospel going forth. And let's just seek after God. Let's seek God as a body. Let's seek after God as Pastor Kinster continues to through the book of Acts and to think about these themes of prayer, community, of being selfless to see God's glory manifest in different ways, personal, corporate. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Again, you can worship God anywhere, but the body is the body, and community is what the picture is portraying here, and what can be done is glory. Out of vessels are obedient and willing to be used to serve in ways that maybe you've never served before. Community groups, even beyond community groups. I'm a community group guy, I know. But when you down to where meets the road, you find that relationship matters, and even that one-on-one, if it's having coffee with someone, needs it. Before your work day, anything like that. The God is in the small details of life, and we can rest assured that our hope and our promise is in the work, the finished work of the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time to think about community, and about first, in the work of the Holy Spirit, guiding us and showing us what you've called us to do to become that new identity that's in Christ, the servanthood that He shows us, that we're to show others, and not for our own fame or our own glory, but for God's glory, and just to be open to the Spirit leading us and guiding us. Thank you, God, for you are working and you're doing and the work that you're doing in our lives, that you will just transform us by Spirit, that we will just keep a sense of knowing that your gospel, your good news saves the non-believer, but also keeps us continually going day by day. Thank you, God, for this time. I just praise your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.